Thank you, team, again, for your ministry and guiding us in a time of being able to prepare our hearts, being able to hear God's truth this morning. Let's begin with a question. Do you have any role models in your life? Everyone should have role models. We should have people that we admire, people that we look up to, people who are living the way that we would like to live and achieving goals that we would like to achieve. A good, strong role model, it can be a very powerful shaping force in our lives. Just how people have viewed Kobe Bryant. Our culture throws plenty of role models at us, but unfortunately, they're not always the best kind. We live in a celebrity culture where the role models are usually people who have achieved success in their music, sports, or acting. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that some of those who have succeeded in these areas are not good role models in other areas of their lives. And most of us will be, most of us won't even be celebrities anyway. We need those role models who are a little closer to us. People who are doing a good job of living that we can look at and say, I can live like that. Kobe Bryant, who's just recently passed away, has been an icon, a legend, authentic superstar, amazing father. It has been said that his legacy that he has left behind will stand the test of time. People will be talking about Kobe for years. Michael Jordan was one of the best NBA players in history, and everyone would say, I want to be like Mike. It's now been replaced with, I want to be Kobe. How will people talk and remember you? People leave lasting impressions on our lives. This part of the letter is a bit different than we've been reading up to this point in Philippians as we've been journeying together. Paul is basically discussing his upcoming plans to visit, as well as the visit of two of his helpers. After the deep theology and soaring praise in verses 5 to 11 in chapter 2, and the powerful commands in verses 12 and 18, this part of the letter might seem in some way a little dull, a little more ordinary at first glance. But it's a helpful reminder that much of life is ordinary, and that we learn some of the greatest lessons from God in the ordinary walk of life. And it's the same way with this section of the letter. Let's come to read together in chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, nor those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. He longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome in the Lord with the great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. God, we're thankful again for your word today. And the truth, the encouragement, the challenge, all that it will bring to each one of us. May our hearts and ears again just be open and receptive, and may your Holy Spirit just bring a strong understanding and just wisdom to your word this morning, and allow us to be able to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier in this letter, Paul told us we should have the same mindset and attitude as Jesus Christ. And that's good, and that's important. But some of you may have thought the same mindset, that attitude as Jesus, really? Jesus as my role model? Okay, I mean, yes, he's perfect. He's a perfect role model. But unfortunately, that's the problem. He's perfect. I could never be like Jesus. That's just too big of a stretch for me. And many of us have that way of thinking, or have our thoughts drawn, and that sometimes end up being a discouragement. And I would totally agree to you that it's a big stretch. Although God does call us to be like Christ, he does offer to help us by the Holy Spirit. But here in Philippians, Paul presents us with two other servant role models who are certainly closer to us. Two people with all the same weaknesses as us. Two people who were doing an excellent job of following Jesus and having the same mindset and attitude of Christ. And so today, we're looking at Timothy and Epaphroditus, godly examples of Christ-like servants who make excellent role models for us today. Looking at Timothy, starting off with, you might recall in verse 1 that this whole letter is addressed to the Philippians from Paul and Timothy together. And here, Paul presents Timothy as a role model to follow because Timothy's a great example of an unselfish servant. And we see this as in verses 19 to 24. Timothy was certainly has certainly taken Paul's words to heart about having the same mindset of an attitude as Christ when it comes to other people. And there are three areas here that Paul urges us to follow when it comes to Timothy's example. The first one, take a genuine interest in others. In verses 19 to 20, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Paul's simply talking about upcoming plans for various visits, and he mentions that he will be sending Timothy to them soon. But even the way Paul presents these plans provides us with a valuable lesson. Notice he writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Paul makes his plans in Christ, but he defers all his plans to Christ. And this word hope is a strong word here, a word of almost certainty. And yet when he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus, he really means, if the Lord wills. We should make all our plans carefully and prayerfully, and yet, at the same time, leave the final result, that decision, up to God. And why is Paul sending Timothy rather than someone else? In verse 20, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Paul had a lot of good co-workers. He names a bunch of them in various of his letters, but Timothy was special. That phrase, like him, carries the idea of like-minded. Paul had no one else like Timothy who was so like-minded with Paul. Timothy was Paul's kind of right-hand man, you would say. And Paul found in Timothy a kindred spirit, someone who shared the same purpose and goals for the gospel. And not only that, but someone who shared the same love for the Philippians. Paul says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Timothy wasn't just serving out of obligation or duty. He wasn't just checking something off his list or fulfilling a job requirement, hopefully, in a sense, to gain approval from Paul or God. Timothy took a genuine interest in Philippians' affairs, just like Paul. The word take interest here, in the same word used for worrying in Philippians 4, we're told to not worry. But here the word is used in a positive context of caring for or being concerned about others. I have found that there's a fine line between worry and concern. And yet we are to talk or we're to walk that line closely as we can. We're to take a genuine interest in others' needs without taking on the burden on all ourselves. We need to care about people. But then we need to cast those cares upon the Lord so that we don't give in to worry or anxiety. And here, that's the first area Paul really kind of presents about Timothy being a role model, taking a genuine interest in others. Paul then shares with us, as we put Christ's interest first. Verse 21, "For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Christ." This wasn't a slam on Paul's co-workers. In fact, Paul will have good things to say about Epaphroditus in a few verses, but Paul's making a general observation about most people. And let's face it, most people look out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. It is a good thing to take a genuine interest in others and to put others first and their interests before our own. But we still need to be careful to put Christ's interests first. Don't let other people's needs dictate your life rather than Jesus Christ. We're to serve Christ by serving others, but we're to serve Christ first. And it's when we put Christ's interest first that we'll be free to serve others in a way that we really help them, rather than just catering to every need that's thrown our way and catering to them on our own. So really, we need to put Christ's interest first. And that's an example that Timothy sets for us. And then taking a genuine interest in others and interest in Christ, Paul then talks about, thirdly, prove yourself in your work for Christ. In verse 22 to 24, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Timothy had proved himself in his work for Christ. This speaks of perseverance and consistency. Timothy didn't just have a few bright moments when he shined as a Christian, but day to day, day in and day out, week by week, he had proved himself a faithful worker for Christ. Notice that Paul does not say, "Timothy served me," but rather, "Timothy served with me." They were partners in the gospel together, and they're both servants of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful relationship on how we should be seeing the opportunity to be working alongside each other. Have you proved yourself in your work for Christ? Are you consistent in your working with the Lord? I was asking these questions myself as I take a look as I looked at Timothy's example. You know, am I making sure that I'm regular in church? You know, are we there regularly? Can people count on us to do our part in the body of Christ? They could with Timothy. Timothy proved himself, and so Paul felt confident in the same in sending him to the Philippians. He represented Timothy as a role model to the Philippians and to us. And what do we learn from Timothy? that he had a genuine interest in others. Christ's interest came first, and he proved himself in his work for Christ. Timothy is a great example of an unselfish servant. Now, Paul was going to send Timothy as soon as he knew more about his situation, but rather he sent Timothy, but before he sent Timothy, he still needed to send this letter to the Philippians. And the person that he chose to bring the letter was Epaphroditus, who is our second role model this morning. Another wonderful example of a servant, a suffering servant. Whereas Timothy is a great example of unselfish servant, Epaphroditus is a great example of a suffering servant. And there's four things that we see and that we learn from his example. First of all, ministry does not exempt you from suffering. In verses 25 to 26. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and he's distressed because you heard he was ill. The Philippians had sent Epaphroditus to take care of Paul's needs. Paul was in prison, and as a prisoner in Rome, Paul did not get much help from the system, so he was dependent on help from others. The Philippians had sent Epaphroditus with a generous financial gift for Paul, and then Epaphroditus had stayed on to minister to Paul's needs directly. But now, Paul's going to send him back to them with this letter. Why? Because the Philippians had heard about Epaphroditus' illness, and Epaphroditus was longing to get back to them. Now, Epaphroditus was a good man. And I want you to see the depth and tenderness of Paul's heart here as he talks about him. Paul calls him a brother. Paul viewed Timothy as a son, but here, Epaphroditus as a brother. He calls him my fellow worker, a fellow soldier. He's a good man. That didn't exempt him from suffering. Being a soldier implies trial and conflict. Epaphroditus also suffered the effects of distance from home. He went on a long journey to help Paul. And he was going to be away from his family and his friends, and he longed to be back home. And then when they learned that he was sick also, and not just a little sick, it was life-threatening illness. Ministry does not exempt us from suffering. And sometimes we get the idea, if I'm serving the Lord, then everything will go right in my life. I won't have any financial difficulties. I won't have any illness. I won't experience any personal tragedies in my life. And all I can say is that what fairy tales have you read? Because that's not what God promised. And that's not the experience of those serving Christ in the world. History is full of examples of missionaries abroad and local missionaries who went out to serve Christ in foreign lands and encountered all sorts of obstacles. They missed their homes and they suffered hardships. They lost their possessions. They got ill. They lost their spouses or children, all while serving Christ. Epaphroditus shows us the suffering side of service and ministry. The Christian life is rooted in the cross. Why? Because no cross, no Christianity. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. And Jesus calls us all to carry the cross of suffering service as we follow him in the world. So that first thing that we learn from Epaphroditus is that we're not exempt from suffering. Secondly, ministry increases your burdens along with your joys. In verses 27 to 28, For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. That's verse 26. The word Paul uses for distressed here is the strongest of the three Greek words in the New Testament for sorrow or distress. The only other place we find it is used in the whole New Testament in describing Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. So he was very distressed because of all of this. Have you ever experienced or heard of someone being distressed because someone they knew was distressed? This is what is amazing here from Epaphroditus, that he was distressed because he knew that the Philippians were distressed. There were no instant communications in those days. No email, no instant messaging, no Instagram, no carrying bridges, you know, sites where you could post an update for family or friends. Suffering is an opportunity to glorify God, but to also trust him and continuing to put others first. And that's what Epaphroditus did. He was more burdened for the Philippians who were concerned about his illness than he was, and he'd been about his own illness himself. You see, the ministry increases your burden along with your joys. Verse 27, indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. God healed him. This was an illness that would have ended in death if God had not intervened. But God did intervene. And Paul says this was not only mercy on Epaphroditus, but mercy on Paul, to spare him from sorrow upon sorrow. Paul loved Epaphroditus as a brother, and he would have been crushed if his brother would have died. And Paul continues in verse 28, therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. As much as Paul loves Epaphroditus, as much as he needs Epaphroditus, Paul is eager to send him back to the Philippians, both for Epaphroditus' sake, but also for the Philippians' sake. Paul puts the needs of others first. This will mean more joy for them, but also less anxiety and sorrow for Paul. Ministry is full of amazing joys, and yet there are many burdens that come with ministry. And this is the second thing that we learn here from Epaphroditus, that ministry increases your burdens along with our joys. And then thirdly, we learn from Epaphroditus in that ministry involves risk. We jump ahead to verse 30. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. We don't know all the circumstances of Epaphroditus' illness, but we know it was related to his work for the gospel, and he was willing to take the risk for the work of Christ. Paul was in prison, and the Philippians could not be there with him, but they could send someone to be with him. So they sent Epaphroditus, and he completed his mission at great risk to himself. Ministry involves risk. There's a personal risk as you step out in faith and share your faith with others. There's financial risk as you step out in faith in your giving of resources to the work of Christ. Sometimes there is a family risk as you step out in faith, trusting that God will take care of your family needs. Although you are completely in God's hands, and so all this risk is from a human standpoint, it is real risk nonetheless. Bad things do happen. People get hurt. Families take a beating. Ministry does not exempt you from suffering. So why do we do it? Because it's worth it. When you're willing to suffer for Christ and the gospel, you demonstrate to the world that there's no greater purpose, that there's no greater cause, that there is no greater work than obeying God by serving Christ and others through the gospel. Jesus was obedient to death. Epaphroditus was obedient to the very point of death. He risked his life for the gospel. So ministry involves risk. And then finally, we learn from Epaphroditus that we should honor those who give their lives in ministry to others. Look back, verse 29. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Paul tells us that when Epaphroditus gets there, first of all, welcome in the Lord. Receive him gladly. Let your hearts be full of joy. Make it a time of celebration and honor him. Throw him a party, right? Hold a banquet. Lift him up before the whole congregation. Why? Because he gave himself in ministry to others for the work of Christ. And we should honor people like that. So in conclusion, Timothy and Epaphroditus are two godly examples of Christ-like servants who make excellent role models for us today. Timothy is a great example of unselfish servant. Epaphroditus is a great example of a suffering servant. Our message this morning gives us two great role models to follow. Timothy, who lived for Christ and served others before self, and Epaphroditus, who was willing to suffer in order to do the work of Christ. Let us follow their example today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, these two incredible men that you have given an opportunity for us to dive into their lives and see how they served you, Father, with just humility and obedience and self-sacrifice and willing to, in a sense, go to the end of the ends of the earth, to go to even the ends of their lives to honor you and serve you. Father, help us to grow in our lives to again follow their example. Father, give us as you've given us the Holy Spirit for strength, for courage, Lord, let us again live out the teachings in our lives that you have given to us and be those models, but also use these two models as encouragement for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.